This is a podcast by sciencemag.com.
Science Mag, come out and play. Science Mag, come out and play. Science Mag, come out and play. Oh, hello, dear English speaking, reading, hearing listener. Welcome back to me at Science Mag, the blog, dash podcast, dash Twitter and Instagram accounts, dash entity behind the unsuccessful eShop Stop and Go on Zazzle.com, which tells you science stories while exploring all the 11 dimensions of space-time, while putting its virtual ear on them vibrating membranes, hoping like that to catch the voice of a transdimensional entity of mighty wisdom, talking about how to correctly answer your significant other's question, does this dress make me look fat? And which talks to you thanks to the voice kidnapped via a wireless voodoo trick from a very, very dumb human. And which does all of this in English? Question mark, a language that is to proper English what 2020 is to an even slightly not crappy year for human. Kind. Today I'm gonna tell you a story that debunks, or not, who knows, dear wait and find out listener, the notion according to which Santa Claus only visits children who well behaved during the year. And no, Santa, it's not the outfit, you are fat.
Science.
Six scholars from Harvard and other universities and medical institutions of the USA and the United Kingdom, UK, in 2016 published a paper on the science journal The BMJ, formerly known as the British Medical Journal, which, founded in 1840, is one of the world's oldest general medical journals out there. The six academics, led by at the time prestigious Kennedy Scholarship owner John J. Park, and we'll call them JJ6 from now on, the JJ6 decided to investigate whether it be true or not the commonly accepted opinion that Santa Claus, also known as Saint Nicholas, Saint Nick, Father Christmas, Kris Kringle, Santy, or simply Santa, decide which kids to visit depending on their past year-round good or bad behavior. Now, the JJ6, to test this popular belief, selected to study what happens on a specific location, the about 190 pediatric hospital wards in the UK, because, the scholars rightly say, sick children are the most deserving of a visit from Santa Claus at Christmas. As a first step, then, since auditing departments close over Christmas and therefore hospitals hold no records on visits by Santa Claus, the JJ6 make a phone call to every UK hospital with a pediatric ward and ask the ward staff to identify someone who worked on Christmas Day and could attest to a visit by Santa Claus. The JJ6 then record the name and position of the witness and whether or not Santa Claus had visited. To rationally and objectively address their quest for the truth, then the scrupulous JJ6 evaluate three parameters and their relative weight on the likelihood of a Santa Claus visit. The parameters are the distance to the North Pole of the hospital, the children's behavior, and finally, how bad is, in social economic terms, the area where the hospital is located, namely the contextual socioeconomic deprivation. So, dear listener, let's consider each parameter one by one, okay? Okay. To know how far away the North Pole is from each pediatric ward, the JJ6 use free map tools, an online resource that provides a set of free tools, among which there is precisely one for measuring the distance between two places. As for the kids' potential naughtiness, well, the JJ6 explore two possibly related, even if not ideal, indicators. The first one is how many days of primary school the children in question skip during the year, or in the JJ6 words, the rates of absenteeism from primary school defined by the total number of authorized and unauthorized absences counted in sessions where each session is equivalent to half a day. The JJ6 collected the data from online databases of the governments of each of all four UK countries, England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. The second potential hint of kids' naughtiness considered by the JJ6 is the one represented by the conviction rates for crimes in young people, that is in boys and girls between 10 and 17 years of age. The JJ6 get these numbers from the UK Ministry of Justice. Finally, to address the contextual socioeconomic deprivation, the JJ6 refers to the Index of Multiple Deprivation, a parameter calculated by the governments that combines data on seven domains of deprivation: income, employment, health, deprivation and disability, education, skills and training, barrier to housing and services, crime and living environment. The JJ6 gives a score from 1 to 10, 10 meaning most deprived and 1 least deprived, to every hospital according to the Index of Multiple Deprivation of the area in which the structure is. And once the JJ6 are done collecting data and assigning scores, well, they are finally able to find out if Santa's bias in the children visit matter is actually linked to the kids' level of naughtiness. Ready to know what the JJ discovered, dear listener? Wait after the commercial break.
Fed up with the fact that every given Christmas morning you find your usually super tidy lawn all messed up, as if a flock of wild legion drunk reindeers had party all night on it, and then you have also to spend a small fortune to fix your roof and chimney cause it's like a pair of giant blades had they wear on it, while on a base bundle with devastating boots and a swinging heavy gate had to dance the giga and trying to fit into the above mentioned chimney? Well, then you need to call us the Christmas Eve of Barrett. On Christmas Eve night, we come to you and give a full optional service that nullifies the unpleasant effects that the holy night has on your house and garden. We provide top quality foraging, supplemented with high dosages of antiemetics and other stuff that reduces the impact of alcohol on the nervous system, stomach and guts of reindeers, caribous and deers. Plus, we provide the super adaptable hypersoft high-tech homemade boots and blades covers and a lubricant for chimney made of nano wheels and super tiny olive oil barrels. Last but not least, we reach the experience with 365 liters of alcohol-free yet super delicious vegan eggnog. What are you waiting for? Call 555 the Christmas Eve Alex for an estimate without obligation. The Christmas Eve Alex. Our motto is satisfied or well, at least we tried.
Dear listener, with their study, the JJ6 eventually found out that Santa goes and visits 90% of the pediatric hospital wards in the UK. More specifically, the old white bearded fat in a red and white dress visits all 8 pediatric wards in Northern Ireland, 100%, 14 out of 15 in Scotland, 93%, 11 out of 12 in Wales, 92%, and 135 out of 151 in England, 89%. With a minimum of 50% in the northeast of England and a maximum of 100% in the south of the country, like South London, Thames Valley and Wessex. So, all in all, dear listener, Santa doesn't visit 10% of the children in the UK hospitals. But why? Why these poor few children don't get to be visited by Father Christmas? Is that really for their naughtiness? Imperfectly, as the same JJ6 recognized, indicated by school avoidance and juvenile crime rates? Well, dear listener, the answer is a big fat no. The JJ6, with their study, indeed actually debunk the myth and say that a child's behavior is not at all a factor that really influences Santa Claus' decision about whether or not to go and visit a said child. And immediately after stating this, the very same JJ6 raises an excruciating ethical question. Should the kids to be told about this new revealed truth? I think a worldwide discussion about this be furiously ongoing since the day the JJ6 paper came out in November 2016, a discussion involving at least parental panels, philosophers and for sure elves representatives. Anyway, pal, the bottom line is that, as just mentioned, kids behavior is not at all an issue when it comes to Santa's visits, and neither is, according to the JJ6 research, the distance from the North Pole. How far a child be from Santa's home, the scholars indeed find, has no correlation whatsoever with the probability that the child get to be visited by Santa Claus. And this, the researcher said, confirms the widely held belief that Santa is not limited by distance or time and is capable of delivering gifts across the globe within a 24-hour period. So in the end, dear listener, what the GJ6 study actually reveals is that the contextual socio-economical deprivation, namely the social-economical situation of an area, is the real deal when it comes to what really seems to influence the probability one child is gifted with a visit from Santa. The GJ6 indeed state that Santa Claus is less likely to visit hospitals in deprived areas, with areas scoring as the bottom 5 in a 10 units range, all showing fewer visits than those scoring as the top 4. The GJ6 admit that on the basis of the data in their possession, they can't yet provide a solid explanation on why is that Santa seems to neglect more deprived areas of his visits. The scholars think that it could help maybe to further investigate the quality of whiskey left for Santa in hospitals, the availability of Christmas dinners, of chimneys and free parking spaces for reindeers. But yes, the GJ6 basically don't know well whether Santa Claus actively discriminates or whether deeper structural factors are at play. Why do children in the most deprived areas have it worse is the question. Well, one possible theory is that Santa Claus is forced to sustain existing inequality, as is contractually not allowed to change anyone's socioeconomic status. Given children's presence beyond their economic means might result in Santa Claus gaining political power and thereby causing the widespread discontent. And this would run directly contrary to the primary mission statement of the North Pole, the deliverance of cheer. Anyway, dear listener, in the end, the basic truth coming out from the GJ6 study is that Santa Claus doesn't really care if a child has been naughty. 9 out of 10 times he is able to visit his dear kids, and one time he misses, well, it happens more in areas that aren't doing particularly well, but it's unclear why to be that. Dear listener, if you are curious to know who are the most frequent Christmas visitors in the pediatric wards of the UK hospitals other than Santa Claus, well, here is the answer provided by the same GJ6 research. You got elves first, followed by footballers, clowns and pantomimes, followed by firemen and elves, followed by a whole bunch of others like magicians, Rudolph, Mrs. Claus, Spider-Man, Batman, Ninja Turtles, and so on and on. Local heroes, as the GJ6 these people are, luckily for all of us, a wide lot. Okay, dear listener, you may think the episode is done, right? Nobody. Because in a year like this, well, of course there must be a Christmas tale about virus. And since we just finished talking about the fact that Santa Claus can travel the whole world in 24 hours, and he even visits hospitals while doing his job, well, in this specific year, one for sure can ask oneself, hey, what if Santa were sick and contagious while on duty? Well, dear listener, an answer to this question is given by a paper written by Dr. Yuki Furuse, aka Doc F, of the University of Kyoto, paper published in November 2019 on the science journal The Medical Journal of Australia. Doc F, in his study, investigates what would happen if on Christmas Eve Santa did his world tour while being sick with measles or flu. The researchers, to address this issue, uses a mathematical model called SEER, which is an acronym where S stands for susceptible, that is, those individuals of a population who can contract the disease. E stands for exposed, that is, those who have been exposed to the disease but yet are not infectious. I stands for infectious, that is, individuals who are already infectious. And R stands for recovered, that is, those who had the disease and recovered from it. The SEER mathematical model is used by Doc F in 100 simulations where the population is of 10,000 people and constant, so no births or deaths are considered in the study interval. Plus, the simulation rules is that when infectious individuals I have a contact with the susceptible ones S, then they transmit the disease during an infectious period in the homogeneous mixing populations. Besides, Doc F considers all kind of potential efficacy of disease transmission from Santa Claus to children, including airborne, droplet, and direct and indirect contact transmission, initially assuming to be equivalent to that for transmission from other adults. Bakaf also adds to the mix what he calls the Santa factor, a variable that accounts for different levels of transmission efficiency, one being maximum efficiency, zero being no efficiency. In simple words, the Santa factor is a reflection of the kind of Santa to children interaction there is, like a nod from the fireplace at a certain distance is one thing, a child sitting on the infected Santa's lap while both laughing and singing is a whole other different story in terms of a contagion probability. Finally, Doc F's simulation regards the Northern Hemisphere, because Santa goes there during the seasonal flu outbreak. Anyway, to make a long story short, Dr. Furuse finds that when Santa has measles, things get ugly. Santa Claus visiting while sick with measles causes large outbreaks, especially when vaccination coverage is low. And with low, Doc F means an 85% vaccination coverage, while good is 95%. And when Santa Claus has flu? Well, when Santa Claus has flu and the Santa factor is 1, so full interaction, then the population infection rate rises from 18.7%, no Santa visit, to 20.9% after Santa's visit. While if the Santa factor is 0.1 or 0.01 instead, the effects are negligible. In short, when Santa Claus is sick with the influenza and transmits the disease effectively through contact with the children, the final size of a seasonal outbreak increases slightly but statistically significantly. Now, dear listener, as you probably know by now, R with 0 is the average number of secondary transmissions from one infected person. When R with 0 is greater than 1, the epidemic is growing, and the bigger the R with 0, the faster a virus spreads among the population, and the faster the epidemic grows, and in conclusion, the faster things get way worse. So, about flu, the 2009 influenza A H1N1 pandemic had an R with 0 of 1.7, and in the US only from 2009 and 10, it affected 60.8 million people, killing globally about 300,000 people. The 1918 influenza pandemic, the so-called Spanish flu, that killed about 1-2% of the world's population, had probably an R with 0 of 2. SARS-CoV-2, which by the way is a totally new virus and not a flu one, has an average R with 0 of 2.5. One person infected, if no measures are put into action, passes the infection to other 2.5 people. 2.5 is bigger than 2, and it's bigger than a 1.7. Therefore, case fatality rate consideration apart, given its R with 0, let's do hope Santa's not infected with SARS-CoV-2, because if he were, well, the consequences in terms of increase of the outbreak would most probably be way worse than the ones foreseen by Dr. F's just mentioned simulation for flu. Anyway, the same Dr. Furuse concluded his study with this final consideration: the impact of visits by Santa Claus when he had the communicable disease was markedly reduced when the contact of children with Santa Claus was limited. A reduction in the effectiveness of disease transmission could be achieved by Santa, minimizing contact time during his distribution of presents and his adhering to standard precautions, including hand washing and wearing a mask. So basically false, to try to limit as much as possible the risks during this present, actual, still full, ongoing, raging pandemic, let's do every day as Santa will do for sure, since he cares for children and people in general, during his visits on this Christmas Eve. Often wash or disinfect the hands, practice social distancing, go out only when necessary. Santa leaves home only one night a year, folks, or at least avoid gatherings, and above all, wear the goddamn mask. And do it properly, meaning cover also the nose. So that's all, people. Merry Christmas and peaceful holidays. Stay safe, folks, and keep the others safe too by being responsible. Chats.
Science man, come out and play. Science man, come out and play. Science man, come out and play.
This is a podcast by sciencemag.com.